Good evening.
Good evening.
Right now, you're the first one, so you want to start or wait?
It's up to you.
I'm Esther.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are starting with verse 439. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. And we're in section 71. L'shem Yichud kudshabarichu ishkinte bitzimu urchimu utchilu utchilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Le'mud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Elohino aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'neneihu. Petach Rabbi Shimon Weyamar Gam Baderech Keshech Asakal Holech Libo Chaser Wigomer Tad Barnash Bae Liat Kana Archeya Kame Kucha Barifu Ad La Ipok Liarcha Ba'eliam lacha, be'ya utzale, kameya, al archeya, kima detaninan, diktiv tzedek lefanav, yechalech v'yasem, laderech ba'ayamav, tehashikunta, La Uparsha Minea. Good evening. We're on verse 439. Rabbi Shimon began to speak of the words, even when a fool walks by the way, his heart fails him. When a man wants to make his way his ways worthy before the Holy One, blessed be he, he should, before he proceeds, consult him and pray to him so that he should ensure his journey. This is as we have learned regarding the verse, righteousness shall go before him and walks in the way of his steps, meaning that he should pray that the Shekhinah, called righteousness, should not part from him. Only after he has prayed should he go on his way. Questions, comments, thoughts?
We actually did this verse yesterday, but evidently we need to do it again.
Well, it's my mistake, but as you say, we have to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was why the Shekinah being a code word, the righteousness being a code word for Shekinah, need to be repeated again, too. I think we mentioned the value of saying the travel prayer, and I remember telling you that one day when the rabbi visited me, he made a point that he came in at the front door, and I thought he was going to leave by the garage door. But he made the point that he always left a house by the same way that he entered. And I remember you commented, I remember saying I didn't know if that was, you know, a custom or if it was, you know, superstition. And do you remember what you said? I thought it was really interesting about the temple. In temple days, that if you entered the temple, you want to tell about that?
The instructions are that if you enter through the south gate, then you exit through the north gate. And if you enter through the north gate, you exit through the south gate. There is an east gate, but there's no west gate. And if you enter through the east gate, you're supposed to go out through either the north or the south.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially saying that you're showing continuity in your journey. That you're not leaving the temple. That's really the consciousness behind it. Because your destination is the temple, but the temple represents the house of God. And so if you're leaving the way you came in, you're indicating that there's you had a destination to get to the temple, and now you're leaving the temple, which would be leaving the house of God, and you don't want to do that. So the rabbi, and I didn't understand that from what you said yesterday, you're saying the rabbi left by the same way he entered, which would be really the opposite of the consciousness that the Kabbalah was teaching.
Well, I know in 86 when we went to Israel and we visited the Kotel, we went up to the Kotel and we left the Kotel. But in later years, and I didn't see anybody doing anything different, but in later years in visiting, I noticed that when visitors or people went up to the Kotel, they walked backwards. In other words, they didn't turn their back to the wall.
Right. Again, that's a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not leaving Hashem. It's like, in the court etiquette in the various kings around the world, the various countries, you're not supposed to turn your back to the king or the queen. So
right.
It's the same idea. Verse 4:40. Uman di hu la mecheman hemna b'mareya makiti beya v'gam baderech v'sheha sakal holech libo chaser man libo dakucha barichu delaya heachach Imea Biarcha Vegara Mim Sayatea Biarchea Begindehu Barnash Dila Meheman Beya Demarea Adla Yipok Biarcha La Bae Siyata demare, demarea of he who has no faith in his master. It is written, even when a fool walks on his way, his heart fails him. And he asks, what is his heart? And he replies, it is the Holy One, blessed be he, who causes his Shekhinah to rest in the heart of the righteous, that does not accompany him on his way. Thus his heart fails him. The inspiration of the Shekhinah and lacks his aid along the way. This is all because this man, who does not believe in his master, who is called a fool, because one does not sin unless the spirit of foolishness attaches itself to him, does not seek help from his master before he starts his journey. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, to me, it's saying that without asking the Shekhinah to be part of your journey with the traveler's prayer, you're considered a fool. At least the surface of it.
The that surface is name. One of the understandings of the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a holiday called Pesach Sheni, and one of the conditions of participating in Pesach Sheni is that you are afar off. You're too far distance to make it back to Jerusalem. That's on a physical level. Now, the Zohar, we've gone over the Zohar, but to remind you, the idea of being afar off means that you become impure. You become tamei. You're connected to the impurity of death, which makes you afar off from the Creator. And if you read the verse literally, it's talking about a journey, somebody going on a business trip or a vacation. But on another level, it's referring to somebody who has caused themselves to be far off from the Creator through their various actions. And how do you return? What is teshuvah, the returning to God? And it starts by praying to God. It starts by a confession. It starts by the steps of teshuvah, which is to announce to your master that you're returning to him.
Do you think the ones that were taking care of the dead are on a journey far off? That was the effect of something that they had transgressed, which caused them to be the one to have to tend to the dead or to be on the journey, to miss the Pesach later.
Are you asking about what the people that were in the desert who were asking about having the Pesach Sheni? Or are you asking about, you know, other people over time?
Well, I think it could apply to both. I mean, I always thought, you know, that it was because of taking care of Joseph's bones that rendered that group in the desert or the persons that were responsible for that Tomei. So they would have needed, you know, a second Pesach. But I thought they were doing a mitzvah. But I guess what I'm asking is, were they the ones chosen to do that task because they had committed a transgression before that time? And so they were the ones chosen to have, whether they knew it or not, if the universe just brought it about, that they were the ones in that predicament and then needed to do teshuvah as well as have a second Pesach to take care of it. I don't know if I'm being clear enough in my question. It's just something I've never thought about before.
You are being clear enough in the question, but it's life is a process. And everything that happens in that process has a spiritual cause. So if we look at the people in the desert, they may have been asked to carry Joseph's bone, or they may have volunteered to carry Joseph's bone. The result is they became impure, and they could not participate in the Pesach. Now, what is the cause of why they were doing that? The cause is always the individual person's actions. Why is someone afar off, meaning on a business trip, when it's Passover time, during the times of the temple. He made a decision to go on a business trip. But he may say, but I have no choice because that's when the business I'm in has its markets. And I have to be there because it takes months to get there. But again, that's all explanations that are physical. Spiritual cause is the person is more connected to the physicality than to the spirituality. If you have certainty, Hashem is going to provide your income. It doesn't have to be in that particular industry. So if you're really asking a question about certainty, you're really asking a question about what is cause and what is effect. And we cannot say it often enough because people need to hear it often. Every cause is spiritual. Every cause is not doing physical actions with a proper consciousness, or not doing physical actions because a spirit of foolishness has entered your consciousness. But why does the spirit of foolishness have entry to your consciousness? That's because you've let your guards down on the gates, on the seven gates, eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. I hope that gave you clarity to the answer.
Yes. Because I had always thought of that particular incident in the desert with having to do with Pesach Sheni, was they had done a mitzvah, you know, didn't go beyond the cause and effect. But the question, that was the question I was asking, so thank you.
The fact that they're doing a mitzvah is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's important to do a mitzvah like burying the dead.
Right.
Putting the night in as the Chevra Kedisha does, washing the body and sitting the night. There's definitely reasons why somebody is called to that.
Which is basically why we say everything that happens is perfect.
Correct.
Okay.
Because, yes, you're doing a mitzvah, and you can feel good about doing that mitzvah because it's the only mitzvah that you cannot get a return from the person. There can't be a consciousness of a giving, of an expectation of receiving in return from a dead person. So it is clearly a pure motivation. But why do you have to prove that? Why did the person need to die? You know, and today I've heard some really horrendous stories about the Chevra Kedisha in various cities. So, you know, I don't want to go into them, but today we don't live in a country, or we don't live in a world that things are done in ways that we would consider righteous according to what the Torah teaches. Verse 442. Kehai dishailu levarnash alat kayama dir shimu bivsereya divarnash veamar lavihu mehemnuta shama ravyeva Savava istakal peyava itaved tilal garme V'anandahai orcha visayata tukucha barifu binan lume mar milady oraita. Similarly, there was a man who asked about the sign of the Holy Covenant imprinted upon the human flesh, and said that it was not an article of faith. Rabbi Yebasaba, the elder, heard. He looked upon him and transformed him into a pile of bones. And we are upon this path with the help of the Holy One, blessed be He. Hence, we should recite words of Torah. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, I have two questions. Rabbi Yebasaba, the elder, he wasn't the one wasn't part of that group a few verses ago. So does, unless this is a title, does this mean we're moving to another higher level of the Sephirot? Because it's a different person?
Yes, it's a different person. Look at the name. Saba means grandfather, so that's saying the elder. How would you spell the word Yeba? We can look at it in the Aramaic.
It looks like it's Yad Yad Bet Aleph, maybe. I mean, that's the first word I looked at. It looks like
that. It's Yeva Saba.
It's after, yeah.
Okay, so you have Bo, which is Bet Aleph. The meaning of Bo is come. And the two Yuds, Yud at the beginning of a word means it's active. So it's an active journey, an active coming. And the second Yud would represent Hashem's name. So the person is really talking about or being on a in a process, which is the term we're using in modern days. It's a process. It's a journey. Life is a journey. Life is a process of connecting to God and coming closer to God. And that's what the name Yebasaba represents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that understanding, does that help you answer the first question you asked?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so what's the second question?
This pile of bones transformed him into a pile of bones.
It's a nice way of saying he killed him. But why would he kill him? He couldn't kill him if he didn't have permission to do so. But let's, God forbid, somebody driving and doesn't pay attention. I'm sorry?
Yeah, it seems like it says there was a man who asked about the sign of the Holy Covenant imprinted upon the human flesh. Well, it sounds like he's asking a question about the Brit, the circumcision.
That is correct. He's asking about the Brit, but he's also not asking, he's telling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He asked about the sign, and he said, the man said, that it is not an article of faith. He was questioning the laws of the Torah. I'll give you an example. Bathsheba's husband, the Hittite, why was it okay for David to put him in the front of the army, the front lines of the army? Was David killing him? The answer is no.
The custom was to divorce before you went to war.
Right, but he did not follow the directions of the king. David had told him to go home and wash his feet, I think is the term. He told him to go sleep with his wife. And the man refused. He wasn't following the directions of the king. If you disobey the king, you're subject to the death penalty, according to halakha.
Yeah.
If you question the articles of faith, if you are a agnostic or a, maybe not an agnostic, what's the other word? The atheist. If you are an atheist, you are questioning these articles of faith, these laws of the Torah. You're saying they didn't come from God, God forbid. And that implies a death sentence, according to this verse in the Zohar. And do we see that in the physical world?
Yes.
Well, most people don't see it, Brandy, but you're right. We do see it if you're looking at it. But it does. Most people do not see it because there are many atheists, God forbid, who go about their lives, and we don't see them dying any earlier than anybody else. We don't see cause and effect in the sense of why did this person die and why did that person die. And it's really not up to us. The only people we can question about that is ourselves. Why are we not well? Why do we have a particular illness? Why are we shortening our lives? What actions have we done? And what actions can we do to lengthen, to add back those years? Did I give you enough to think about today?
No, we know what you said.
I know.
Yes.
But this is you can get a real sense about the power of this section, and because it's the final section in the Parasha of Bereshit, it has to be powerful. So we will return to it next Monday. You all have a good evening, and we'll have questions and answers at 7 o'clock West Coast time tonight. Hopefully there'll be somebody with questions. But we had some good questions tonight, so you all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.